in their own ways. And obviously so do we. Most of the physical things that these institutions have are not on display. So it is not simply a matter of if we want to have stuff of theirs in Wikimedia, it's not simply a matter of walking around and taking photographs of it. Not only will those photographs be not very good, they will be annoyed, and most of the stuff you will never see. So I think it's important that we work with them as experts, as the official version of us, to make better collaboration rather than just working independently over here on the side. Next. This is a picture from the Louvre. I would hope that children from around the world, school groups from around the world, would do similar things with us in the future. Come in, and this is expected. This is the way that people work with Wikimedia in the world, as their school group comes along and works with Wikimedia. That happens in the Louvre and in institutions, cultural institutions. Why does it not happen with us yet? So we should learn from them. These people have the world's best practice developed over the last 100, 200 years in these professional and many other professional practices. We are just learning how to do metadata. We are just learning how to do archiving and history of interpretation of information. They've been doing this for a long time, and they're not necessarily complete in, and this is the answer. But just like we say to anyone in the media, or when you're talking to a random person and you say, oh, I'm a Wikipedian, oh, what's that? Well, it's much more complicated than you could possibly describe in 5 minutes. You have to learn. It's a professional practice, effectively, in Wikimedia world. Equally in the museum and cultural sector, do not think that it's simply a matter of taking old things and putting them on a stand and say, that's important. There's a lot of professional expertise that goes behind that, and we don't know that yet. This is the mission statement of the British Museum, or this is a statement that the British Museum director repeats as what he sees as their goal. And I think that's extraordinarily relevant to what we do. Surely there must be ways to collaborate around this. I think that the best way to work with GLAM institutions, with the cultural sector, is to build relationships that may take some time to develop, rather than trying to copy what they do or take what they do and just do it ourselves, but to find some way of having a mutually beneficial relationship, because we can't do the sum of all human knowledge by ourselves, because a lot of all human knowledge happens in real life. And they're already there doing that. So we should work with that. And equally, they should work with us. But just as much as we complain about the incorrect approach of organizations like the National Portrait Gallery in England, there are practices of ours that are not exactly friendly either. And from their perspective, it looks like we're trying to steal their stuff. I hate the word content liberation. This is what it looks like when we come in and say, we would like to liberate you. Hi, I'm from Wikipedia. Can I liberate your content and put it on Wikipedia where anyone can edit it? Oh, sure. Come in. Practically speaking, I think what I would suggest in terms of just reaching out to a cultural institution is call them up and say hello, have a meeting, have a cup of coffee with no proposals, no suggestions, no demands, and just explain what gratis and libre are, explain what free culture is, learn about what they think, and find the person in the institution that you're interested in, or the politician or whatever, find the person in that community who is already interested in Web 2 social open access, because there is already someone there, and they're not necessarily the young person, but they're already advocating in their own community for these kinds of things, and we need to be able to give them the tools and the knowledge of what we do so that they can advocate for that better. Learn about what they care about. Is it more visitors to their institution? Galleries and library, galleries and museums, generally speaking, want more visitors. Okay, how can we help you with that? Archives and libraries generally want less visitors, because they're about preservation and archiving things. Whoops. And so, how can we help you with that? Put it online. Make more people see it elsewhere rather than coming in and queuing up. Just like in the Wikimedia world, where not many people necessarily realize that there is a lot of process and procedure and culture behind the scenes, they just think, oh, there's a website. Most people don't know you can edit Wikipedia. We know that there's this huge body of knowledge behind there. Same thing in the cultural institutions. So it looks like there's nothing happening. There is a mad rush. There is a huge flurry of work happening in the global cultural industry around open access and the internets and Wikipedia specifically, that we don't know about. They're there already, and they're running around going, crap, what do we do about this? And they're trying to work out new practices. It's not like, it looks like from the front end that there's nothing really happening, but most of the work is happening underwater. Have you ever seen a duck try and swim underwater? Don't just build a relationship with an institution. Build a sustainable relationship. It's not one of simply saying, hello, you know us, I know you, now give us your stuff. It's something that can happen over time, over a longer period of time, and something where both parties benefit. Not just Wikipedia gets more pictures, but they get more visitors, more people know about them. They have improved metadata, because we have more eyes to look at that kind of thing. Our mission statement of improving awareness of the sum of all human knowledge includes making more people aware of them. It's not a zero-sum game. Some things you could do, for example, are run a backstage pass event. This is a picture from when, in Sydney, we went and saw the Powerhouse Museum, and they took us through their archive, their actual physical object collection, and showed us things that don't get out normally into the public. And that was just interesting, and that was specifically allowed. They showed us around, and we learned about their practice and had lunch and showed us the museum because we didn't bring cameras. Leaves the power with them to then open up in their own time, which is much more sustainable. You could run a Wiki Lovers Art kind of project. Go around and take pictures of stuff, having asked permission first. You could write a feature article about their something from their institution. Host a local meetup at their coffee shop. Write in their members' newsletter or their institutional, the Museums Association of East Pakistan, and make a dialogue. Equally, learn some of the things that are important to them. We only ever talk about copyright because we only talk about copies. We don't have any things of our own. They have things, and therefore they have to talk about property as well as copyright. And property doesn't expire, you own it in perpetuity. And so they have an important element to their work of managing access rights, which we never have to talk about. And the line between what is an access right, what is a copyright, what is someone pretending is copyright is actually an asset, is quite difficult. Learn about their business model. They have to make money as well to live, to pay staff. It's not simply about how much, like for is for us, how much can we have, how much can we give away. This is a big business. And learn about the kind of things that are happening in their institution, in your local area, or in the industry in general that are already happening. Flickr Commons is an example. We're not the be-all and end-all of the internet, of cultural access. Things like Twitter accounts for institutions, for cultural institutions, is picking up. they have innovative websites of their own. It's not like Wikipedia or Wikimedia Commons or Wikimedia projects in general are the only thing that they will be doing. We shouldn't pretend that we have some sort of exclusive ownership of cool internet stuff. And so there will be a lot of people lobbying them to work in projects with them. Where we have the moral high ground is because we don't want any money for it. You might be pleasantly surprised when you see what some of the institutions are doing. Ooh, disco presentation. Epileptic, are they?
It's your computer.
It's
something in your computer.
Gerald? Oh, okay. No one move anything. Don't move. Don't move. Stay where you are. Click. Okay, Gerald. Here we are. Okay, I'll work on that later. Simply put, what this page is this is the collection database website of the Powerhouse Museum. You can find it by going to powerhousemuseum.org.au and then or powerhousemuseum.com, and then clicking through to their database. This is their most important object in the physical museum, the Boulton and Watt steam engine, which we have an article about in Wikipedia. When we went through on the backstage pass of the Powerhouse Museum collection, we asked, can we please have your official photographs of that thing and that thing and that thing so we can write articles about it? And they said, okay, we'll think about it and we'll try and work through our processes, because it's not nearly a matter of saying, okay, here's a picture. It's a matter of having a process for that, that why would we approve this fact, have to go up through management. They found that it was much, much easier, rather than approving three images of three things, that they would just, the pictures thing is too difficult for the moment for them. But something that we did not even think about was their collection record. Scrolling down the screen is a huge description, a statement of significance, the notability of this object, and every single object in their collection. Equally, there is a huge description of all of the acquisition data, the metadata about the physical object, size, weight, age, when was it built, who owned it, in what order. Very important information about this object. They released all of that under Creative Commons, which we didn't ask for. Of their entire collection. Cool. We didn't get the pictures of the three individual things. But if we had come in and said, haha, sneaky camera shot of that object, haha, and run away, we would have fantastic, we would have a 3-megapixel picture of something that was not particularly well photographed anyway, and no database record, and no relationship. So, building on that, a couple of weeks ago, we ran in Australia this event, GlamWiki, in Canberra. You can find the website glam.wikimedia.org.au, where you can see all the slides from the different presenters and all the press reports we got and the Twitter feed and such. And it was big and it was fantastic. We had 170 people from the entire cultural sector of Australia and politicians and funding organisations and all across from New Zealand and every single state of Australia. And the issues that were raised there, I have no doubt, are the exact same issues that would be raised everywhere else in the world. Maybe there'll be some specific ones as well, but the vast majority of content that was there could be equally had, the same discussion had anywhere else. And it was amazing. And it was in Australia. And there's proof. We had Matthias Schindler fly out from Germany to talk about what they've been doing there, to demonstrate there is a worldwide practice. And we also had Jennifer Riggs come out from the foundation. May I point out, Jennifer was exceedingly helpful in setting this up, being the first event where we've actually had an outreach for a particular industry to discuss, not an academy to teach, but a conversation over several days. And I thought it was important, and she thought it was important, and she backed us up in setting this project up. And it was, I can't thank you enough for your support in doing that. The important thing about the event was that we had recommendations from it, not just that it was nice and we learned things, but we left with some documentation that could be taken out to the rest of the community. And you can see this at GLAM, at Meta, if you just type into Meta, GLAM Wiki, GLAM hyphen Wiki recommendations. And these are the set. So these were the four themes of the conference: law, technology, education, business. It's not merely a copyright question. And recommendations in three directions: to GLAM, to Wikimedia, and some to government as well, because there's things that neither of us can control, like copyright law. And I'm only going to be talking about the ones to Wikimedia, because I'm already talking about the ones to GLAM, to them. And believe me, there's a lot of things in there that are, some are controversial, some are easy, some are hard, and it depends on the institution. But just in terms of bona fides, it's not merely them that has to do things different. This is about what we need to improve. Did you know there's a 2-year waiting queue to join Flickr Commons? I learned this at GLAMWiki. Why is there a 2-year waiting queue to queue, a line? They're waiting to join, to open up and put things online. And there's no institutions waiting to join us. One, because we don't have a queue. They can just do it. But two, because there are certain things that Flickr Commons has, not just technological, but cultural, that we do not have, and maybe we should try and get some of that love. Theme number one that I can get from these recommendations that I can glean, and there's a lot, so I encourage you to have a look at that website on Meta, GLAM-Wiki recommendations, and have a look through them and maybe start a conversation in your own community. Theme number one that I could unpack, was about metadata. They want to know more. They want to be able to export it so they can see what's changed. So, and they want it to be better and to be theirs. Obviously, there's a problem of many institutions don't have stable URLs, and so we can't do much in terms of that. But when they do, we should use them. And we should use their own catalog reference numbers and their own acquisition numbers and import those as well. Currently, the only piece of metadata that we import, if at all, is the URL where we found it. And often that's the image page, not the actual record page, just the URL of where the JPG or the movie file is housed, which is useless. You can't see any context from that. We need to be able to provide people to send them back to the institution so they can visit if they wanted to in the future. But metadata is not just a URL. It's an acquisition year. It's acquisition donation information with the generous support of the Miles Franklin Foundation or whatever. And equally, and as has been found in Germany, when a lot of metadata is copied across, we can find improvements to that and fix it and make it better and add geotags or whatever. And we would like them to take that and improve their metadata, yeah? What are they going to do? Manually scroll through and find every single change? We need to be able to export our data in a machine-readable format so they can just effectively watch list their content and see when it's being used and how and why, and that can just be used to justify working more with Wikimedia if metadata about usage is also exportable. Theme two that I tried to take away from these recommendations across various fields was the real thing. As I said before, we deal in copies, we deal on the internet, so far at least, and they are physical institutions. And as you all well know, it's one thing to read about something, it's one thing to see a picture of it, it's quite another to go and visit. mean, why are we physically here in Buenos Aires? We could just talk online. Sure. It's much more important to actually see each other in the real. And so they stress the importance to us of encouraging people to extend their learning beyond just Wikipedia into actually seeing the real thing and getting access to the real original expert information, the original research, that we are not the be-all and end-all of knowledge about culture. So that could be things like, we already do link back to their own websites, we provide geotags, but we need to think of more innovative ways of tying our readership with their expertise and their physical location. I have an expectation that when we can do augmented reality on, say, smartphones, and you can walk around town and see where objects in their collection were in situ, and then click on that and say, well, that's interesting. I think I'll go and see where that is now. Or it happens to be in Berlin. I'll go to Berlin. Easy. But there needs to be a relationship between the digital and the real. The more virtual, the more real. And they also want to highlight the quality of our quality. We know that we have peer assessments of our articles. They don't know that. So if we could have peer review, if we could demonstrate to the public the quality of our content and our own assessment, at least, if not other people's assessment, that would improve the general perception of trust. Theme three of four, they want more information. And this ties back to the finding the person in the cultural institutions who is already advocating for our kind of things already. They don't know about free licensing. Some do. They don't know about how free licensing can make them money, can be productive and not just about giving things away. They don't know about how working, and this is a genuine recommendation. People said, well, if we work with you, that's fantastic. You can do things that we will do, but you'll do them for free, and I will be made redundant. That was a similar kind of request or concern that happened in libraries when you could check out your own books at machines. A lot of librarians were saying, I'll be fired. You're replacing my job with a machine. Well, no, you're not a librarian so you can check out books. You're a librarian so you can do more interesting things than that. We can do all the boring stuff. We want to allow, we need to demonstrate to the cultural institutions why allowing us to help will let them do their own jobs better and do the interesting stuff, do the expert research, do the curation, do all the pushing forward of knowledge, and we can do all the categorization and description. They want to know how to edit. They want academies. They want to know, and that the last one was interesting, they want to know how neutral point of view, what we do, is compatible with expert curation, which has over the last two decades actively been trying to remove this pretense of neutrality in museums, having descriptions that are not simply boring, neutral documentations of this object was in 1850 and is a steam engine, but what are the controversies involved in that, and why is it interesting, and what are the conflicting debates about this object or this particular period of time? And I think that's definitely compatible with neutral point of view, because we can describe the Marxist approach to steam engines and the capitalist approach to steam engines or whatever. But they don't. When we say neutral point of view, they think that means no debate or nothing of substance. And so more information is needed. Finally, and this one was raised just on Monday, or just the other day, not Monday, Wednesday, about Indigenous rights as well. They want a greater recognition of moral rights. So authorship, they want, for example, they're happy often to share their curation, their texts, but want more appreciation of the author. Obviously, authorship is a major concern in getting a professional job in areas of expert knowledge. And so how do you recognize that? More than we currently do. It's quite, you want to go to the history tab and then scroll down and find a few usernames. Maybe if a institution has provided a huge section of text that's been expertly written under CC by SA, and we've imported that. Maybe we should recognize that in the external links. The majority of this content has been provided by the Powerhouse Museum of Sydney link. I don't know. And equally that in art or in the objects themselves, there's not just copyright, there is moral rights. And so us saying we can edit anything, well, so you're going to take my artwork and then turn it into a propaganda poster for some other political organization that I don't agree with? Well, hopefully not, but that's more than just copyright. That's about integrity of the intention of the artist. I don't know how to necessarily deal with that, but I think we need to have a proactive understanding of what moral integrity of works, of content works, is. And finally, the last theme that was interesting, and this is especially relevant in Australia, but also in any country that has an indigenous population, but in general, in the cultural sector, there is an increasing awareness of the rights of indigenous populations to their own cultural heritage that was liberated by the colonizer, or generally by the West, without their permission, and it was not necessarily supposed to be public knowledge anyway. Not all culture was meant to be free. And though contradictory to what we stand for, on the face of it, they would really, really, really like if we would have some kind of proactive understanding of where Indigenous cultural rights and free culture can not try and antagonize each other. Saying the sum of all human knowledge for free, freely available, sounds cool to us, but I've been told by the Australian Aboriginal Cultural Organisation, that's fantastic, but we can't work with you because Aboriginal culture in Australia is all about dividing up who can know what in what circumstances. Are you male? Are you female? Are you an elder? Are you from this clan? Do you have a particular relationship in the? Are you married? Are you not? And that's how the knowledge in the society is divided up. That doesn't mean we can't talk about that society at all. And it doesn't, and does mean we can fall back on our policy of verifiability. Okay, no sources, fine. We can't talk about it. It's not that simple. It's a very important one, but we need to have some more proactive approach to dealing with Indigenous cultural rights, not just because it's important, but because they think it's important. And I don't think us standing up and saying, no, everything should be available for free, every piece of knowledge that has ever existed, whether or not it was intended to be free. That's fighting, standing up and flailing that flag on that issue. If that's important for us, that's actually going to be losing us a whole lot of other stuff. So if that's such a central issue to them, we might want to be respecting or being more proactive on that issue to allow the other issues to continue forward a bit more, if that's so important to them. Effectively, they're the four themes that I raised. What time is it, by the way? Almost 10, okay. There's your credits. And there should be a thank you slide. There we go. Any questions? Yeah.
I want to ask one of the other stakeholders that I think should be involved is actually the history or art enthusiast. I mean, in Indonesia, for example, there are lots of groups of bloggers, online communities that really have interest on art, museums, things that related to glam. We're actually trying to do something like Bundesarchiv is doing, and we have an initial contact with them, and they're very enthusiastic about this. Do you have any experience on that?
Like I said, I don't pretend that Wikimedia is the, or Wikimedia chapters are the only people either in the professional world or in the internet community or just in the local community who are trying to work with these institutions. I would like if the various groups that are trying to work with these institutions, if they have similar goals, could work together. But we're not, we don't have some sort of exclusive monopoly on relationships with cultural institutions. So if you do know of, another organization or another community that is working with a cultural institution, for example, Flickr photographers, a lot of these institutions have a collection of Flickr photographers that they work with. Great. That's close enough to us that we might want to try and work with that community and work together. I mean, that's what Wiki Loves Art was mainly a Flickr project that was imported onto Wikipedia. Raoul.
Thank you. So I'm Raoul Weiler from Belgium. 2 years ago in Taipei, and also last year, this way we met actually, we started a project on ethnographic museums. And maybe some of you remember that presentation. So in the meantime, where are we? We found a volunteer in Wikimania in Alexandria and setting up today objects from the Coptic Museum in Cairo. I have a picture with me. So there's one, a few objects have been introduced by local people, I tell you how the method is, in Wikicommons. So the basic idea was, and I join your last sentence about indigenous, so that we choose from the very beginning ethnographic museums with the argument that the cultural diversity is threatened and that in let's say in the mid of this century about 90% of our diversity will disappear. Especially there are statistics from the UN on the basis of languages, which is the starting point of a culture. Now what we want to do is bring in objects from specific museums in the catalog style with electronic pictures. And the metadata you are spoken of, we rely on the definitions of the ICOM, and ICOM is the International Committee of Museums. It's located in Paris and associated with UNESCO. They have standardized the descriptions, and we took them over. So the catalog starts. There's one. Second is to, you mentioned it too, so I appreciate it very much. 90%, even more, the Getty Museum, it's 98% are in the reserves. Nobody sees them. So to have to bring these reserves also open. And third is to set up, at least for the ethnographic, it's possible, I think, for any, that to create the virtual museum. So when we look from Europe, sorry for that, but we have a colonial past. There has been a dispersion of all different cultures in Africa and Asia. And so you have to travel the world around to see them. Eventually the reserves, not. Yeah. So the virtual museum is an essential part of our strategy. But we limit ourselves to, at this stage, and I hope we will find this somewhere, to ethnographic, yeah. Of course, it would be a dream that to have all that cultural heritage. And I leave your guess about how many objects you are speaking. And so just one example, the British Museum has over 1 million objects. 1 million, 1.2 million or something like that. So France, the new museum on ethnography in the Quai Branly, is about 300,000 only. It's a museum of the primitive, now, les arts premiers. So there's about 300,000. So there are millions. And I would so say, I wouldn't be surprised that if the addition, the sum is made that when it goes up to 100 million of objects of our cultural past. When you take dream of Egypt. That's how you get there too. So this is the status. We are on the track. End October, there is a presentation. There's an annual meeting of the Ethnographic Association, ICME, it's called. It's part of ICOM in Korea. And there we do a presentation with our Egyptian colleague and with the chair of that group. If you want, I can show you one picture. So please contact me.
Okay, thank you, Raoul. Yes, and not only is there, for example, 1 million objects in the British Museum, that's 1 million statements of significance. I think it's important we don't forget that working with cultural institutions is not merely about taking pictures of stuff, which is where we've really had the majority of the focus so far in any relationships with cultural institutions. How many pictures of things can we take? There's much more professional practice, expertise, metadata, descriptions not only of objects but of the culture they represent and potential relationships. For example, Matthias's Personendata stuff. Gerard.
In Wikipedia, we always say that if we have a text and we make a statement, that we also have to source these things, that we have to say, this is the source, this is the citation, and all that good stuff. But in actual fact, if you want to, you need to do the same thing for pictures. Because if you have a picture, you don't know if the picture is actually what was there in the past. And when you don't take notice of the things that, if you don't source it, if you don't say the original can be found here or there or whatever, then basically you give people a presentation of how the world is supposed to be, but people just don't know. And it is for this reason that the sheer facts that you tell that a specific object can be seen in a specific museum or a specific archive is so vitally important. And to make you appreciate how important it is and that we basically don't do that, when the picture of the year for Commons was elected, it was not clear to people that that was actually a Photoshop picture. Now, it is not really important that that is a Photoshop picture because it is just a great picture. But the original picture had three horses on a hill. And when you now look at the picture of the year, there are two horses on the hill. But that is, when you look at it to historic pictures, there is this famous picture of Stalin with a few of his compatriots. And there is one version of that picture with two people there and one with three people there. Now, that's for you to consider why it is so important.
And the example that I refer to is similar, is when the Raft of the Medusa, a famous painting by Géricault, which is hanging in the Louvre, was feature article of the day. The article with obviously the picture of it was feature article of the day on the front page of Wikipedia in April this year. You click through to the image. It says, you know, on the article from the Louvre or hanging in the Louvre. You click through. In any of the metadata, on the article or the image, it doesn't actually give you a link back to, it didn't at the time, a link back to the Louvre itself or have the Louvre's catalogue number. And although it's ugly, the Louvre does have a stable URL for every painting, and that's a pretty important painting with a lot of description on their own website. And we took the image from another place and referenced that other website's JPG URL. Nothing tying back to the actual Musée du Louvre. Draw.
Thank you. Jesus, okay. Now, I have to say something about it because I have a somewhat bitter experience. I was talking on Wednesday about the PikiWiki project in Israel, and I have some somewhat bitter experience with the flexibility of Wikimedia Commons. And you were talking about adding metadata and links and taking care of the authorship issue. And whenever we try to kind of break the schemes and the templates of the commons to cater for all these kind of things, we're scolded by the commons community. Now, part of it was probably because we didn't know how to approach the commons community. But then again, I found myself in a kind of strange situation when I had to deal with two quite rigid communities. On the one hand, the commons, and on the other hand, author, photographers, and all kinds of organizations that we cooperated with. And I mean, it was impossible for me to take this load of mediating. I felt at some point like a kind of a UN mediator between two fighting. So I just had to say that about, I mean, we on our side, the Wikimedia movement, have to be the flexible side, I think, for one thing. Okay, that's my remark. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. I share your experience of telling one community to move this way and telling another community to move this way, and both communities feel like they're being pulled too far, whereas in fact the middle is not over there, the middle is over here. I'm actually working as a result of GlamWiki. I'm trying to create a position within the Australian cultural sector of Wikimedia liaison to try and push forward these kind of things in a more professional way. We've got to finish up quick for Matthias, so just a couple more.
Just a very quick question. I would assume that most of the GLAM institutions you were talking with get to receive a substantial part of their budget from government agencies. What's your experience with working with government agencies, and what's your approach towards them?
Yes, in Australia, and I presume in most of the world, the majority of funding for cultural content is government. And in Australia, for example, all cultural institutions are required to make as much money as they can to offset the government funding, because the proportion of government funding keeps decreasing. We have what's called a efficiency dividend, which means every single year the budget gets decreased by a set percentage. So you know in 5 years' time it will be 5% off, and 5% off, and 5% off every single year. And so they're encouraged to increasingly find other ways of monetizing their content. A coffee shop, or selling high-resolution files, for example. And so, on the one hand, cultural institutions want to preserve and protect and publish, but still control the validity of their content. But they equally have this very important and increasingly strong voice in their own board meetings about the financial aspect, about how do we make more money to keep our staff on staff. At the same time, the government, half of the government is saying, the people around who are involved in open access and innovation and the technology departments are talking about opening up and sharing and changing licenses and being more innovative. And another section of government is talking about how much money can we get away from you next year. So as much as we don't like to talk about culture and money in the same sentence, this is an extraordinarily important part of everything they do, and they recognize that it shouldn't be an important part of what they do, how to make money out of culture. But it has to be, because of the nature of the beast. And so if, back to my slide of information, if we can provide good data, statistics, past practices, best practices, benchmarks, examples, lobbying of why working with Wikimedia and free culture doesn't mean less money for them and could indeed mean more money for them. Simply, it's just like simple bottom line money in. And that's a really important aspect to it. Only one, but a very important aspect. Matthias, are you ready?
Yes.
Thank you.